Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're damn skippy. You start now. It's a Wednesday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. John Lopez, as he said, sitting next to me. I'm Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, on the ones and twos, and you. Get involved with the program, as we always ask you to. 713-572-4610. Is the number to text, and always, we appreciate the Mo Karam and Drew Lawyers for the live streams. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and the Twitch chat 610 Houston. I don't know what we did that made Payne and Pendergast chuckle
just
there.
It just hits
so
all the time.
Keep it 100. Okay. Every time.
It just hits.
It's like that Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco bad take that I cannot listen to enough. Yeah.
You should repurpose that tomorrow.
Oh, which one was that even about? Oh, that's about Watson, the big 450 pound.
Yeah, yeah. Where it was such an awesomely bad take by both of them.
It's like watching a train wreck about to come together, right?
Yeah.
Let's get going on a Wednesday here. Those various different places where you can get involved, and obviously you can listen to us on any way you can get us: the iHeart, Odyssey app, TuneIn app, YouTube, Twitch, all those various different places. But kind of anticlimactic there, John Lopez. Now, wasn't it?
Nah, it was. And I have questions for you. I have a question for you.
You always got questions. I can't even just say things. You're just going to have a question.
I can't shake it. They told us something, right? They told
directly
us,
because I'm not used to being told things.
Well,
directly.
They indicated
okay
something. I can't figure out what it is.
That's all right. Let's do some working out. What do you feel like the Texans indicated to you?
I have options.
713-572-4610.
And I'm not necessarily saying I believe in any or all or of these options, but anytime you do something like this and you are a contender, I mean, you know, you fancy yourself a contender.
Yeah, anyway. I was about to say we might have to slow down there, big fella.
You fancy yourself coming into the season. You did. That's for dang sure. So option one. They believe that they are in a dead zone. They're kind of in purgatory. They're not good enough to make a move. But let me go through all the options and figure you hop in too and tell me if any of these strike you.
Okay, I got it. Let me get on my pen so I can keep
option
up with
number
this.
One, all right. They're in a purgatory. They're not good enough to make a move, but they're not so bad or don't think they're so bad that they have to start thinking about next year. That's option number one. Because they told us something by not doing this.
Sure.
Option number two is a bit of a John Lopez special, an OG special, because I think this happens a lot in sports and people don't recognize it. Nick Caserio kind of pulled a B.O.B. He kicked the can down the road a little bit. And let me explain. If he made a big move this year and it didn't work out, he would be under fire even that much more, right? I mean, it would be like, look, he traded for fill in the blank and they still didn't make the playoffs and they still finished with whatever the record was. So I think he could easily sell the McNairs on standing pat. Hey, look, we think we can do this year. We think we still have a chance here and there. And by doing that, he kind of buys himself more time for next year. You know what I mean? So right. he's kind of in self-preservation mode. Option three, the C.J. Stroud concussion was a factor. Like they know that it's going to be at least this week, maybe 2 weeks, and you can't bet on that. You know, you can't bet on this team when your franchise quarterback is out for at least 1 or 2 weeks. Option four, outside of parting with premium draft picks, there simply wasn't anything they could trade. I mean, we're talking Christian Harris. You mentioned it. Damian Pierce, Darrell Taylor. They didn't have it.
Christian Harris.
Yeah, Christian Harris.
Oh, you did mention it. Yeah. Sorry.
And option five, they realized there simply wasn't any way to fix their biggest issue, which is the offensive line. So was it purgatory? They're in a dead zone, and they just said, whatever, shoulder shrug. Nick Caserio kind of kicking the can down the road a bit and self-preservation. C.J. Stroud concussion was a factor. Outside of parting with premium draft picks, they didn't have anything, and they didn't want to separate from the premium draft picks. or they're simply, they know the offensive line is a mess and they can't fix it.
I would like to say that I don't view this as a quiz where you select a singular answer.
I agree.
I view this more as a menu where an a la carte menu.
A little of this.
Yeah, dog. Yeah. So I would like to start with the one that feels that felt strongest to me personally, which is number 5 on the menu here, John Lopez. Let me get a number 5.
Mashed potatoes or French fries?
No pickles. Please, French fries, man. I don't trust this establishment to do mashed potatoes correctly. Y'all put the gravy on this on it instead of on the side. I don't love that. There's no way to fix the main issue. I don't think there was a singular move that was going to fix the issues that you had, in part because, and I think a lot of people probably agree with this, I think that there's an issue when it comes to just the organization of the offense right now. So I don't know that a Breece Hall was going to fix that or an offensive lineman was going to fix that. I think that I'm trying to remember which one of these this would fall into. But, hey, one of the things that Sean mentioned is absolutely the case here, which none of those players moved.
Yeah.
Right. None of those pieces even were moved. I remember that there was a – I can't even remember.
That might fall into the Christian Harris, Damian Pierce, Darrell Taylor thing. You didn't have the assets to get and your only extra pick next year is a 4th-round pick.
Sure.
So maybe you couldn't – you know what I mean?
Because I know that Breece Hall in particular was one that people were really fascinated by, and I think that still falls in number 5 in my estimation, but a lot of people were fascinated by the idea of getting some level of, even if they didn't want to say it explicitly, Joe Mixon replacement of somebody who had that caliber of burst, that caliber of explosion, that could carry that kind of load in a way that maybe Woody Marks – either isn't fully prepared for or maybe they are not willing to give him. I don't know. But the reporting was that the Chiefs even had a 4th-rounder on the table willing to go if Breece Hall would be released by the Jets. And the Jets were like, no, we will not go any further than a 3rd.
Yeah.
And so I imagine looking at the Texans, ain't no way that they should be in the business of giving a 3rd in that moment, which, again, I feel like there's no way to fix that issue because you can't get there. But then also, I do believe that the Stroud concussion probably was a factor in that you know where you are, right? And maybe I think, well, not even maybe, I believe that this organization has a higher belief in what this team is than maybe even the outside and anybody, whether it's us, the fans, what have you.
Yeah.
And they go, not just on a singular year plan, because you have to view this in more than just 1 year. You use a few years, 2-3 seasons. They still believe themselves to be capable of being good, even if not for the rest of the season next year. So you end up in this interesting purgatory, which again falls into one, of how good can we be this year to where we need to go all in and really maybe overpay even to get something versus keeping ourselves close enough to go and re-rack next year at the given time. Because there are pieces and there is things in tow, and there's a reason why we felt like this team could go and be competitive, be a playoff team, and maybe even go and compete in the AFC. There's good reason. There's reason for that. And so you look at this and you go, what happens in another year if you have still that same foundation? There's no need to cut into it. So I think that all those things probably factored in to them not making a move.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck on option 2, which is was a kick the can down the road a little bit.
Yeah,
I can see Nick Caserio maybe talking to the Menares like, hey, look, I'm trying to make some moves right now. I'm looking at Breece Hall, but the price is a little too high on the brick. And it seemed like the Jets was kind of charging a lot anyway. So I could see him saying, hey, this is a first-year offense. We might not make it this year. We're still trying to get everything together. So maybe this year is not the year. Maybe it'll take 2 years to get the offense where we really want it to be. Next year, we'll be able to maybe get more pieces on the offensive line to kind of get the real players we want. This was kind of a retool type of year. I could see him selling the Menares on that not making the move.
I'm curious what our listeners and viewers are thinking. 713-572-4610 and certainly on Twitch and YouTube. My thought, that's part of mine, Figgy. That's one of mine. I think it's a combination of 1 and 2, and I think it's pretty straightforward. Because 1, they are in a dead zone. And keep in mind, the two teams ahead of them made really big moves, and we'll get to that later as well. So I think they're like, look, we're not good enough right now. We're not sure how this is going to play out. So let's just do what we can, you know, with what we have, try to get better, that whole thing. And I think that ties in with 2. Like, these people are these are careers that they love, that are very well paid. And Nick Caserio doesn't need that heat. You know, if they – and I'm not saying I would be any different. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, let's see what we can do. And next year, you know, we got a second year offense, like Figgy said. We've got, you know, we presume a second year offense. But anyway, we've got some assets.
I don't think you can presume.
I know. We got an extra pick in the, you know, so it's smart for us to make a run with what we have and then even get better next year.
Yeah, they might go all in on the offensive line next year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
There's a text that comes in on the text line from the 843 that kind of, if I'm to sum it up, seems to be, is it possible that Cal and Hannah are saying something from the ownership level of Caserio being on a shorter leash, maybe not having as much leeway to do some of these things? Is there, yeah, does that fall within the realm of plausibility for you? Because I do think that there probably is the possibility for moves at a middle level that I don't know that you need to go to management and go, hey, this is one of those big ones that I really need your sign off on. And we know this organizational structure allows their management to have a decent amount of leeway when it comes to decision making. The thing I will keep coming back to is you didn't see any, like, we don't have any factual evidence that, well, this is what it would have cost to get a tight end because none of those moved. This is what it would have cost to get an offensive lineman because none of those moved, as we talk about a lot, right?
All we have is Breece Hall.
Right? Yeah. Even Breece Hall, like, that's the small thing that we have. And what we are looking at is it's probably a cost that I don't know that we would have been all that comfortable with. So unless there was, like, a big swing that this team would make, and I don't even know how happy I would be considering the foundational issues that we seem to have with what they're trying to do. I don't know that I can necessarily get on board that this would come from the top down, but it is an interesting thought that was put out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, and the reality probably is a little of all five of these and maybe more played into it. But if I had to, you know, just looking at what other teams did, looking at what they had to trade, looking at where they are in the standings and otherwise, I think they're like, whew, is it smart? Is it even smart?
Yeah, I was going to ask y'all this. If y'all were the GM, knowing where the Texans are right now and seeing what everybody else in the division is doing, would you feel comfortable making a stronger move, thinking you could kind of run the table and make the playoffs, or would you kind of hold your cards?
I mean, short answer is no, right?
I wouldn't feel comfortable making a big move.
Short answer is no. There's a lot of mitigating things.
Now, if I seen the offense has some spark to it, and I'm like, okay, we can run the table, then I would consider doing this, but... Yeah. Right now, just what I've been seeing on the field from the offense, I just don't feel comfortable making a big splash just to kind of keep up with the Joneses.
No, I 100% agree. Honestly, the somewhat disappointment is that they weren't able to kind of cash out on the perimeter a little bit to maybe...
Yeah, the margins.
Like I mean, someone like a Darrell Taylor, and I understand that they value him, and I know D'Amico loves having a deep rotation of pass rushers, but... You're not guaranteed to have him next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like, hey, is that an opportunity for you to get, you know, squeeze a little bit more out of what's happened? Now, of course, it takes two to tango. Were there going to be people out there that had a desire for those things? That's a fair question to ask. But we saw the Browns trade a depth edge rusher in this trade deadline.
Sure,
so I do wonder if, like, hey, you couldn't have cashed out a little bit in some of these places depth-wise and give yourself even more ammo to go and fix some of the issues that we felt like you had coming into this season. If, at, you know, in the next offseason that presents itself. But we'll see. We'll see if ultimately they make the right decision. That's one of the things about anything in sports is that in time you get to see whether a decision was the right one or not. But in the moment, we're just kind of left with the team that we have, the questions that we've had, and you move on to, I guess, I was going to say on to Jacksonville, but on to at least the Jags when they come to town on Sunday. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Wednesday. Coming up next. There were some teams in the AFC South that made some moves, and two of the biggest trades were in the AFC South. What does that tell you about the AFC South and how you view it? And how would you grade the rosters in the AFC? We'll talk about all that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. Getting going on the Wednesday. It's a Texas Star Grill Shop giveaway Wednesday. We'll be giving away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop in the 12 o'clock hour. just for you, rock with us. Obviously, we'll have a solicitor call in at that time, but appreciate you doing that. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, obviously, the MoCam Injury Lawyer live streams where the easy thing was like, yeah, they just told us they don't want to move them picks.
Yeah.
Is what they told us.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we know that this team does value. Well, I was going to say they value picks, but they also will. They'll send them. Mm-hmm. They'll send them around, too.
Nick Caserio liked to get deals, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so I figured the price of the brick was probably a little too high for his liking.
I mean, it's not like he hasn't done it. I mentioned, you know, the Will Anderson thing earlier, but...
And to that end, like, then how much can we even feel like we learn anything about Nick Caserio in one particular...
He keeps you guessing, baby.
Yeah, he will do one thing and then another in another instance, so, like, maybe we needed to just...
And that Will Anderson trade was play money, too. That was play money from them Browns picks,
too. It wasn't
tangible.
It was just... It was in a bank somewhere.
Yeah, nah, this is his real money.
Yeah.
All right. That obviously no trades for the Texans yesterday. A couple of moves on the periphery that we'll talk about. But there were trades in the AFC in general, but particularly in the AFC South that were probably a couple of the biggest outside of one of my favorites, which, of course, I kind of waxed poetic about, was the Seahawks getting Rashid Shaheed. But in division, we've talked a lot about the Colts making their move to go and get a cornerback to help their defense out a great deal. Sauce Gardner, the kind of foil to Derek Stingley Jr.
Mm-hmm.
will join the division, and
which is going to be fun, by the way.
I mean, like,
that's going to be fun.
These are the things that I think in football in particular, but in sports in general, at least I like. I don't want to speak for anybody, but it seems like the general public loves is the opportunity for a big time matchup, right? Mm-hmm. A mano a mano or whatever the right phrasing is. Matchup, and now you get an opportunity when week 13 rolls around to go, here goes Nico Collins versus Sauce Gardner. Even though the last time that particular matchup happened, I was not very happy. Thanks a lot, Halloween. But that trade happens, and then also not to forget the Jags went and added a wide receiver in Jacoby Myers. You know, what is it? What does that tell you, John Lopez, as now you are the trade whisperer?
Well, I think a couple things. Interested in what you say. For sure, I mean, there's no question these were two of the biggest trades of the day. You know, maybe the biggest and third or fourth, whatever, but these were two of the biggest trades of the day.
Without question.
So clearly.
On a day that, honestly, when it comes to NFL trade deadline, was pretty big. We're used to the NFL trade deadline. We talk a lot about it, but it ends up being a little bit more subdued. Like player movement in the NFL is not
this
like.
This was one of the bigger trade deadlines we had in a long time.
Right. This isn't hot stove. This isn't even like what we had kind of gotten to in a little bit in the NBA at trade deadline. Like, it's not any of those.
No. So clearly, two of the bigger trades in your division. And there's no, I mean, nobody can question they are both all in. You know, the Jaguars may be a little less, but they're making moves to try to go ahead and make the playoffs this year under Liam Cohen. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. Did they create separation from the Texans?
From the Texans?
They're both ahead of the Texans. I mean, it's a fair question because they're 5-3 and 7-2. Texans are 3-5. Did they create separation?
Just off the strength of this move, I can't absolutely say that because also – the context for the Jaguars, well, I mean, the Colts, I mean, I think the separation was already there to a big degree that I don't know, like, what is this negligibly? I think that this is one of those moves that, if we're being entirely honest, right, this ain't got nothing to do with us, right? It's the Mad Men scene where Pete comes into the elevator and he's like, I feel sorry for you. And Don goes, I don't think about you at all, right? Like, that's where the Texans are in relation to the Colts.
I don't know if I agree. It affects you a little bit. I mean, those are the two teams right ahead of you.
No, it does affect you. But if I'm talking about it from the Colts perspective, I don't think that this deal was made where it's like, let's make sure that the Texans keep a
foot on their throat.
This is 100% we want to try and make sure that we are better prepared for the Bills and the Chiefs, as opposed to, like, we want to make sure that we finish out what this division is. You know what I mean?
How I look at the Colts is I felt like it was a real need at cornerback. Mm-hmm. Hell, remember, Xavier Howard retired because he was over there getting cooked. And I think they really needed a cornerback.
That was still so funny.
Yeah. No, he was getting cooked. I kept seeing the back of that man's jersey. Yeah, retired. Salute. But
there was a lot of people that were like, hey, Xavier Howard's out here. You can go pick him up.
No.
We figured that one out real quick.
Yeah, but I think instead of just getting a regular corner or just a average corner to kind of hold it down, they went out and got probably one of the best, a top 10 corner. I would be nice to say top 10 corner.
So now let's bring it to the Texans. Do you like to ponder? You look like you like to ponder.
I am very much. I've often
you
been
are
told.
A ponder.
Your middle name is Ponder.
Man, I've been told that.
Reggie Ponder Atitula.
It doesn't quite flow, but we'll figure it out. I think we will.
This is what made me ponder. Given now that it's all done, trade deadline is dead. It's over. How many AFC teams overall roster? Now you can certainly argue, and I wouldn't push back. The Texans' defense is the great equalizer, no matter how big the overall roster is, because they're that good. I get that. But how many overall rosters in the AFC are better than the Texans' overall roster? Now, let me throw some names out there for you, because there's only seven spots in the playoffs, right?
Can I stop you before you get going? And I know that can be frustrating, because the tough thing about it when you look at the Texans' roster is – When you're looking at a roster that it takes out like however it's maximized or utilized, which I think is a large portion of what we're talking about with this team.
I am not going to push back on, but the Texas defense is so good. It doesn't matter how good.
It's not even the defense. It's like, okay, the offense, you have some pieces that it feels like, all right, if you utilize them differently,
roster
I'd view
and
differently
usage.
About this roster. How okay, so that? We're putting that in here?
How about
okay.
roster and usage?
That was ultimately what I was going to look for with the clarification.
I got you. All right. I think there are...
So who's just better? Like, at that point, we're doing which are the better teams?
I think there are six no-brainers, and you can argue. Bills, roster and usage overall. Patriots, Colts, Broncos, Chiefs, and Chargers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oof. So there's six right there, and there's only seven playoff spots.
Yeah.
This is
so
where,
who's in the hunt?
So this is where it gets interesting. Are these rosters and usage better than the Texans? In other words, what I'm getting at here, the separation thing.
Yeah.
You know, did the Texans lose ground in the playoff race is basically what I'm asking. Steelers, Jaguars, and Ravens.
I mean, the Ravens have a better roster. For them, it's really just been like playing well below what they were capable of. Like that one, actually, there's some things that some of those teams that you put in there, and obviously, again, we're kind of talking about who's better, honestly, separation-wise. Yeah. If we do scale this back to just roster, there's teams that you put on that front line that I would absolutely take the Ravens over 10 times out of 10.
Fair. Like you're talking about in a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, but Steelers... I think they're overall.
You think they over?
Overall, I think
I don't know what to think of the Steelers, to be honest, man. Yeah. But I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't push back too much.
The
on
one
that.
That's vexing to me is Jaguars. But they did add Jacoby Myers, and the usage part for them has been pretty strong.
Yeah, I'm not really sold on the Jags offense, man. I don't know why. I think it's just Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I'm not really sold on it.
I mean, everything else when it comes to this offense is really interesting, right? I mean, tight end wise, they don't have anything that particularly scares you, but they have some wide receiver talent that you go, you know, they can get the job done, especially when they're schemed up. And the running backs are solid. I mean, they go probably three deep on guys that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
The question is always, how can Trevor Lawrence execute what they have going? Because that's kind of what's they're dealing with there. Yeah, it really is just how much do you like Trevor Lawrence?
Honestly, just watching him play, sometimes I feel like I know they drop a lot of balls too. Mm-hmm. That's not his fault.
Yeah,
but just watching him in real time, I'm like, man, he's missing a lot of throws. Man.
He has been.
He's a little. Sometimes I cringe a little bit how rough he can be at times.
Yeah, I mentioned this yesterday. I thought that his last game was one of the best I've seen him play. So I don't know what that means, and maybe he'll revert. Yeah. You know, he'll revert to what you're talking about. But either way, like, you didn't do anything, and there are three arguable, at least in my view. But there are nine teams that overall you think, they're probably better.
Yeah,
quite possibly. But right? I think when the way that you asked the question, I think is important here because it was roster and execution, and I think that that's the tough part. Is when you talk about trade deadline, the thing that you're trying to fix is roster. I think that the execution part is the thing that continually hurts the Texans right now. Both if we're actually getting to the literal definition of execution from the players on the field, and then also the way that they are kind of positioned to execute. I mean, that is the thing that keeps popping up to me like a blinking red light. On some level, piece of equipment or whatever. That is the thing that keeps popping up, and it shows up even here as you're trying to do an evaluation of what the remainder of the AFC looks like.
Yeah, and you play a lot of these guys: Colts twice, Bills,
Chiefs,
Chargers. That's five games. You know, and that's not to mention you have the Jaguars again. There's six.
And I think ultimately, probably what you're trying to get to is your roster is not going to change by the time you meet them now.
Yeah.
Guys coming back from injury, but I think we were already accounting for that.
Mm-hmm.
The difference now is, can your execution change? Yeah, by the time
can you get better?
Yeah.
Can you just play a lot better?
Yeah.
Because I feel like with the Ravens, I feel like it's a chance they can play better because you got Lamar Jackson, especially if he's healthy.
I think the Jaguars are going to be a really interesting test. I think it's going to be more interesting than I thought it would be.
Is this another measuring stick game, Big Dog?
I guess so.
How many times do we need to measure this?
I guess they all are now, right?
It's a must win.
I know.
100%. Yeah, so all of these are must win now. John Lopez, I'm about to wear John Lopez out for the rest
of the
season.
They got to go 1-0 each week.
That's right. Go 1-0 on the season, and the season is 1 week long. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. With the trade deadline coming to a conclusion or whatever, and the Texans not doing something, they did do something. They sent out a tweet that kind of rubbed people the wrong way, that kind of felt like read the room. And inspired by that, our question of the day is as follows. What is an unforgettable read the room moment for you? 713-572-4610. Let us know what you think, and we'll talk about it next. All right. Question of the day time here in the loop, and it's based off of the trade deadline. Of course, obviously, that hit at 3 p.m. Central Time yesterday. And so at that, I mean, all through our show and leading up to that 3 p.m. deadline, we were all trying to see, would the Texans do anything? And to be fair, I don't know how eagerly we were anticipating something being done.
We were anticipating something. I don't know about you. I thought they'd do something.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be a big splash. Yeah. I think we kind of said it towards the end of our show.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was going to be a little piece here and there. Yeah. Maybe something's very...
It fits the profile.
Something very small. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if I probably didn't even know who the person was they traded for.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be something that
Either
small.
Way, I mean, even if you weren't, you're anticipating, will there be something?
Right.
Yeah, it's just
it's the nature of the occasion. The occasion is... It's one of those news occasions.
Yeah.
You're just sitting by the phone.
Or even if it's something like a Damian Pierce traded or something. I was suspecting something.
Yeah.
So I imagine there was a lot of people that got on Twitter or X, if you choose to call it that, and turned on their notifications for Houston Texans.
Yeah, man.
And then they got a push.
2:50 p.m.
2:50 p.m. Oh, man, we're getting out to the deadline. What the Texans doing? Apparently, they had a tweet. And Figgy, I'm going to lean on you here because you were the one who actually saw it in the wild and then brought it into the domestication of our group chat. But you sent us a tweet where the Texans had like some influencers in a suite.
Yeah, so they have an influencer suite. I think it's presented by Ticketmaster or
it
something
is.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they invite a lot of different influencers, celebrities, and stuff like that, and they hang out in that suite. And so I guess maybe this was last game. I'm not sure when it was, but they show pictures and videos of them in there and pretty much giving them gifts.
Unboxings.
A lot of nice stuff. A lot of influencers get a lot of gifts from just random people, not just the Houston Texans, but they gave them like a little gift box full of Texan swag, and it looked like a nice jacket or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was real.
Yeah.
It was real nice to the point I think outside of the obvious, the trade deadline, I felt like some season ticket members was a little salty. Okay.
You saw the comments.
Yeah.
And we can get into that, but there definitely was a general air rather of read the room. Right now is not the time. And so that got us thinking, what were your most memorable read the room moments?
Yeah, and I do want to get into that.
Sure.
That whole,
I mean, continue.
No,
I'm
saying.
As the responses come in.
Eventually, but just so people can start thinking, a couple of things that immediately came into mind for me, and I got to thank Seth because this was not long ago. A friend of ours, a couple, the wife passed away from cancer, and we went over to their house, and just out of force of habit, and it's always awkward anyway when you do that, you know, you don't know what to say or whatever, but just out of, because I do this all the time.
Just happy-go-lucky, huh?
Walked in, saw the husband, said, hey, how you doing?
Not the right tone.
definitely not the right tone. And I just immediately, it's
one of those. Sorry for your loss.
Yes.
It's condolences.
One of
those. Yeah. You can even use the same question. You just got to pitch it down. It's just like, how are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah. Does not play.
That's
it
what
doesn't
I did.
Play.
That's what I did. And as the words came out of my mouth, I'm just immediately trying to bring them back in, and it was impossible to do. And I just kind of stared at him, and he stared at me.
And so you left, right?
And so I was just like, I immediately went into the other mode, like, oh man, you know. It was so bad. Man. It was so bad.
The first one I think about is Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. how he went through all the little allegations and all that stuff, ended up getting traded to the Cleveland Browns in a fat new contract, mm-hmm. like a big old, he got paid more money after the whole sexual assault massage thing. And I'm just like, man, Browns got to read the room, man. Yeah. Like, what is wrong? I know money talks, mm-hmm. but damn.
It was definitely
that's
bad.
The first thing, and they got many different read the rooms situations, by the way.
Yes, they do.
Following that,
yeah. Man, the funniest one in sports for me, and I can't shake it. I think I might have even been talking about it recently, which is why it came to mind. Y'all remember a certain wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles named Riley Cooper?
Mm. Oh yeah.
He got in trouble because he had gone to was it a Garth Brooks concert?
It was a country concert,
it was a country
for sure.
Concert, and he got hemmed up because at some point. He yelled out in some level of argument, I'll fight every N-word in here, which I had to imagine had to be less than a handful of them, to be fair. That's not the read the room part, right? Like, obviously, hey, man, yeah. getting out here, using words that we generally do not want people to use. You know, we don't want to use slurs out here. He had all that. Rather soon thereafter.
He had a job to go back to.
Well, he did have his job to go back to, and I'm not even, you know, making yeah. a judgment on that. But rather soon thereafter, the Philadelphia Eagles put out a calendar, mm-hmm. You know how you know a firehouse, whatever, put out calendars, and there's a person for each month.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess who?
Don't
was the,
say it.
Who was the featured athlete in the month of February? Mr. Black History Month himself, Riley Cooper.
That is worse than anything.
Read the bleeping room,
that
y'all.
Is so bad.
That one will never leave me.
That is so bad.
It will never leave me.
Anything Jack Easterby related, but especially, and we used to play it a lot on this station. When I guess he was doing a motivational speech or something, and it turned into a wannabe comedy routine.
Yeah, it looked like he was preaching.
Yeah.
It might have been a sermon at the church or something like that. Yeah.
How you doing? Remember he was doing all that stuff.
He started talking about all the places he visited.
Yeah.
And he said, I remember I was in New York.
Yeah.
And somebody just walked up to me and said, yo, what's up, son?
Yeah.
What up, kid? I was just like, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
And then he started trying to talk like a Texan,
yeah,
like with their belt buckles, yeah. and they put their thumbs behind their pants,
yeah.
and
then he did California and all this other stuff. I'm like, oh, that was so cringe. Much like, and I do want to kind of get back to as we start getting these texts in, you know, read the room moments.
Yeah,
the whole that tweet yesterday, man.
Yeah, because the levels on it were.
Yeah.
It was three different levels. It was three different arguments happening
right,
about
so
that tweet.
Regale me. we turn to our Twitter correspondent, Figgy Fig, at the Twitter news desk. Figgy, can you give us an update as to three levels of ire to this tweet?
Yeah, so the first level was obvious. It was trade deadline. It's 2:50 mm-hmm. or whatever the time
it was. Yeah, I looked it up.
And people like, what the hell are y'all doing? We trying to see if we getting a trade going on. We sitting there on our hands on our ass.
Like Reggie said, they got the alerts on.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was the season ticket members.
Yeah, oh God, yes.
Hey, how come we don't ever get anything like that? They ain't even fans.
I just got a crummy T-shirt.
I just got a T-shirt. I paying up thousands of dollars for, and I don't get these type of gifts.
Especially where this team is right now. Like, it'd be different if it's a 5-3 team. I feel like they're like, hey, I'm watching 3-5 football. I'm watching, you know, Baker Mayfield and Bo Nix scrambling at the end of games to defeat us. And now when I'm looking for my team to do something, all I'm seeing is these people in these nicer Texans gear than I could ever see.
Yeah. And then the third one was, who the hell are these influencers?
That's a great point because I didn't know who any of them
Thank
were.
You.
Yeah, I was looking. I still didn't recognize anybody. I did see somebody say, well, Cheryl Swoops was in the
was
video.
Was Cheryl in there?
Yeah.
I feel like I would have seen Miss Cheryl.
I didn't recognize anybody.
Is she an influencer? I guess she is. But
she would influence me. Yeah. What you mean?
Hey, she a legend.
Yeah, she is a legend, but does that make her
I think I seen somebody else say somebody from Big Brother was in there, and I would have never I don't think I ever watched the episode of Big Brother.
Oh, Miss Cheryl Wright, she is in there. I seen her.
But yeah. Again, and I'm so glad you said that because yeah. I thought, okay, is this just an
so old, it's three different conversations happening on why people was pissed at this tweet.
Immediately, I said, I don't know who the hell any of these people are. None of them. Oh, there's Cheryl. But none of them. And so I immediately texted Figgy and you back. I'm like, you know, I'm so glad you said that because I thought, like, these are massive influence. Do you know any of, like, outside of Cheryl Swoops, which I didn't know, any of them?
I don't. And now, I mean, look, I ain't trying to defend the Houston Texans and all that stuff, but they kind of playing a different game. They trying to get into the whole social media. They trying to reach a different audience.
Which, absolutely.
So that maybe that's not our, or at least my audience. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't familiar with them. So maybe they're trying to do that.
And that's why I was like, the biggest read the room portion was just like, the timing felt a little off.
Yeah. I'm guessing that tweet was probably scheduled to go out at that time.
Yeah,
but
which
why?
Made them
realize.
Well, they probably did. So, you know, because one thing we also forget.
It's probably somebody that don't even think about the trade deadline
the Texans,
portion of it.
That's
part of the problem.
No, but here's the thing. Especially when we get to all these teams, we always see like the social media, people get after the social media like they run the team or whatever. It's a lot of people that work for the Texans, and there's a lot of departments, and there's anybody who's worked in any company larger than like 15 people. Sometimes the hand don't know what the foot doing, right? And I think that is one of those instances.
But that has been an instance in which some social media people get fired.
Sure. And I mean,
you
this,
have to know. Yeah.
I don't think this rises to that level.
No, I don't either.
I guarantee you next year this ain't going to happen. I'm sure they probably familiar with everybody's game right now.
All right, so there's a couple more that I want to get to. One of the big ones from the 832, the prisoners running the asylum comment that was made.
Oh, man.
In one of those owners' meetings by Bob McNair. Yeah, that one. Except the tough part about it is I understand we're doing the read the room. The scary part is that might have been actually reading the room, right? Like there is questions about like how the owners talk about their players or what have you, the opposition in some of those labor negotiations in those moments. That might have actually
been reading
that
brought some colorful conversations on these airwaves.
Boy, didn't it. Boy, didn't it. Y'all have some stories and we will circle back around to those. But that's the question of the day here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. Where there's been some decisions in there around the NFL, and obviously, like, I just kind of want to talk about some of the things that happened with the trade deadline with some other teams around the NFL. Let's talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.